Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. The next case on our calendar today is A19-0904 in the matter of the welfare of the child of LMD and JDC parents. The parties will each have 15 minutes for their argument, and the appellant will have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. If you can please introduce yourself for the record and the client you represent, I'd appreciate it. And the appellant can proceed when you're ready.
Crystal Kadri, I'm Assistant Becker County Attorney, respondent.
Okay.
Elizabeth Walker, attorney for LD.
Great, thank you. You can proceed when you're ready then.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. Today's issues are not broad and overreaching, and there are very few disputed facts within this case. And so I'm not going to reiterate all of the facts of the trial or the case, but simply the fact that under Minnesota Statute 260.012E, subdivision E, that the Social Services Agency is to make continued reasonable efforts to reunify a family. And in this case, it's not disputed that my client did not start off doing what she needed to be doing for the case. There is absolutely zero fact that I can present before you today to say that she had been. However, when LD was incarcerated and she was moved down to Shakopee Prison, there was zero effort on the Child Services Agency whatsoever to make any sort of reunification efforts.
Was there a request by your client for reunification efforts while incarcerated?
Your Honor, I believe that the county has the requirement to continued efforts and to work with her. She continued to work with sobriety. She continued to work with counseling and mental health experts. The issue here is that the Social Services Agency, when we went to trial, had no idea that those things were ongoing. They made zero efforts whatsoever to even contact her while she was in prison to see what she was or she was not doing. The whole issue here is a termination of parental rights based upon a failure to work a case plan. But at the same time, the county refused or didn't even have an idea or stay in contact with the client, with LD as she was in prison, to find out what she was or she was not doing. And I do believe that is part of the Social Services Agency obligation to do so.
I'm thinking about a timeline. Am I correct that the trial occurred approximately 13 months after the CHIPS adjudication?
Yes, Your Honor.
And I think, am I correct, she went to Shakopee about 1 or 2 months before the trial?
Yes, Your Honor.
So, I mean, was the county making reasonable efforts prior to her going to prison?
I cannot speak to that, Your Honor, other than to say that there were efforts made and communication was not available between the parties. My client admitted on the stand, and I cannot argue otherwise, that she had not been complying with the case plan prior to that, and that she had further requested to continue working her case plan. She did not want to relinquish her parental rights, and that there were other options. She even testified to on the stand that she would transfer legal custody and physical custody if instead of having her parental rights terminated. And what I'm saying is that at each step, the bottom line is my client was an addict. The child was not found to be neglected. There was no medical neglect. There was no physical neglect. There was no starvation. There was no anything like that. There was no finding of that at all. She was an addict. She ended up in prison on a probation violation, which she executed her sentence. From that point forward, there was absolutely zero contact made by the Social Services Agency to see what steps she was making in moving forward. And I guess, Your Honor, I think that that is part of their job to make reasonable efforts. They don't just stop because somebody goes to prison. They don't just stop because they filed a termination of parental rights. There was no release from the courts that the social services agency had no longer needed to continue to make reasonable efforts. What I'm saying is there were no efforts made after that point in time. None. And the social services agency has the obligation to continue that until the point in time that they're relieved from such efforts. And they had not been. There was nothing in the underlying Child in Need of Protective Services case. There was no order saying they've made all efforts, they no longer need to make efforts. That case was still ongoing. In the termination proceedings, there was no order relieving the Child Services Agency from making continued reasonable efforts. Simply because of the fact that she executed her sentence on a probation violation, and then she started working to get her life together, and then we had trial. But there was no contact, and they admitted on the record, there was no contact after she became incarcerated and sent to Shakopee Prison. None. So they didn't have any clue what she had been doing or not doing at all, even though she was continuing to make those efforts. And I believe that it was the obligation of the county to continue to make reasonable efforts towards reunification. I mean, clearly she didn't want to lose her children. We took this to trial, even though she had to be brought up from Shakopee Prison to Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, and she had to testify as she's sitting in her prison suit that she was willing to keep working her case plan. She was willing to even potentially, she testified, she was willing to transfer legal custody to the biological father. But instead, parental termination was what was sought and put forward, and I believe you only terminate parental rights for grave and weighty reasons. That's in the respondent's own brief, is you can only terminate for grave and weighty reasons. We're not talking about a child that was in her of herself was addicted to drugs or abused or neglected. There was zero findings of that. We're talking about a person who was addicted to drugs.
Could I turn your attention to pages 27 and 28 of the district court's several paragraphs of discussion about the reasonable efforts that were made by the county. Are there any findings in that part of the order that you think are clearly erroneous?
That of the respondent, I'm sorry, Your Honor, which page?
I'm pointing to pages 27 and 28 of the district court's order.
Oh, the district court's order. I'm sorry, I do not have it in front of me, Your Honor. Just one moment.
That's in your addendum.
Yes. I know I filed in my addendum. I just did not bring that up here with me. Actually, Your Honor, thank you.
And I guess the paragraphs 188 through 192 are the text underneath the heading reasonable efforts of the county. I'm just wondering if any of those findings are clearly erroneous in your view.
No, Your Honor.
So you agree with paragraph 189 that no other services could have been provided to further reunification with the child's custodial parent, as Davis failed to pursue case plan requirements and refused assistance?
Your Honor, I am not in complete agreement. Thank you for that question. I'm not in complete agreement with that. At the time before, I know my client testified she was not compliant with the case plan, but however, she still attempted to be a part of her case plan. She still attempted to do her work while she was in prison. And I don't believe that that is accurate to say that there was nothing further that could have possibly have been done when nothing at all was done.
What are you suggesting should have been done that wasn't done?
Even contact to see if, I mean, at a minimum, finding out what she was doing, what was offered to her while she was in prison, finding out that she was dealing with her addiction issues, finding out that she was going to counseling and trying to meet her case plan requirements. None of those things were done.
Remind me, how long was her sentence?
She was in prison from February, I believe it was 13th, and then she was released July 27th. And then she went into a halfway home or a halfway stage home, and then she's working, now she's currently employed, and that's outside of the record, however. But that was the sentence she executed.
How many months long was the sentence she executed?
6 months, 7 months, Your Honor.
I mean, doesn't that make it, I mean, in light of the county's interest in achieving permanency within certain time guidelines, doesn't that make it difficult if she, you know, if she is going to prison for a period, you know, voluntarily, it seems, she requested that the sentence be executed, right? But doesn't that make it difficult to, well, I don't know. I mean, is it your theory that the county should have obtained or helped her obtain compliance with the case plan while she's in prison or after she was released?
Yes, I think both. I think the fact that she was working her case plan while she was in prison, but the county had made zero contact with her to see if that was it. In the county's timeline for 1 year of a child being in foster care, now let's be clear, when we're talking foster care in this particular case, the child was placed with her biological father. We're not talking a case where she was in a stranger's home or some home that she did not know and then was moving on to different permanency. She was placed with her biological father. And in this particular case, nobody continued to work with my client. We all know that addiction is an issue and it's ongoing and it has its pitfalls and its struggles. But the fact that the county made no efforts at all after she left, that is the point. And then they should have worked with her while she was in Shakopee Prison, and they should be continuing to work with her now, even now, towards reunification. Of course, they're not, because her parental rights were terminated. Anything further, Your Honors?
I have one question for you. In respondent's brief at page 11, LD acknowledged, they cite her testimony saying, acknowledging and saying, I guess at this time I'm not sure what the county could have offered me, in response to a question by the guardian ad litem. So did your client concede that there wasn't anything further the county could have done for her?
No, Your Honor. I believe my client was conceding that the efforts made prior to when she was taking her steps, those reasonable efforts, prior to that, there was nothing else that could have been offered to her.
Okay.
The contention is only after, when she was imprisoned.
Thank you for that clarification. Any further questions? Thank you for your argument.
Thank you.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. Again, we are here for a termination of parental rights on LD, the mother of SAC. Standard of review in this case is clearly erroneous. At this time, the agency is asking the court to affirm the lower court's order finding that a termination of parental rights is in the child's best interest. I also further want to point out that the county had four statutory bases in their petition that the court found all in all four, and that was 260C.301 subdivision 1 paren B, paren 1, paren 2, paren 4, and paren 5. And as the court, the lower court noted that the county found, or the court found by clear and convincing evidence of all four of those bases.
Three out of four, right? Not the culpable information. According to my copy of my order, I'm looking at page 34 at the top.
Oh, I apologize. You're right. Subdivision 4 was not found. The court only needs to find by clear convincing evidence on one of the bases. And so at this point, I think what the county is suggesting as subdivision B paren 2 and B paren five are the two issues that the appellant brought forward. Now, subdivision B paren two talks about repeatedly refusing to comply with the duties imposed by the parent. LD spent testimony and information provided is that LD did not do any part of her case plan. I believe the court found that she hadn't worked not one single part of her case plan at the time that the termination of parental rights petition was filed. She refused to meet with the agency. She refused to do a capacity to parent. She was on probation at the time for a felony. She was given a stay of adjudication for that felony because it was her first felony. And she had four probation violations during the pendency of this CHIPS action. During that time, she continued to refuse to work with her probation agent. Similar circumstances were testified by the probation agent that attempts to phone call, attempts to work with her, attempts to get her to do chemical dependency treatment. She'd had was required to do random testing, all came back, or many of them came back positive for drug use. She continued to deny any sort of drug use to both the probation agent and to the county. Her continued struggles came to a point where in the probation agent's argument, they would not let her actually leave jail until she went to, actually was brought to a facility from jail. So she had a chemical dependency assessment down in, I believe Teen Challenge did the assessment, and she was sent to Share House in Fargo. Now at this time, the county had made the determination that a termination of parental rights petition should be filed. And the county at that point still decided that we wanted to work efforts with her. We were still continuing to work efforts with her at that point, even though we'd filed a termination. Once she was in Share House, the social worker worked with Share House to try and get updated information, tried to contact her. We started visits again after, multiple months, at least 5 months, I can confirm that she had not seen the child.
Appellant's argument is focused on the lack of efforts made while she was incarcerated. Can you address that point?
Well, and the county does concede that we did not we did not contact her after February 15th. After February 15th, 2019, that was the day that she was in jail. There was a scheduled meeting with a social worker. It appeared, based on the testimony that from the social worker, that she was under the influence of a controlled substance, and at that point she did not really have any questions and didn't really want to speak with the social worker. Prior to that, in August of 2019, LD had requested and refused to sign a new case plan at that point. So again, that further implements the refusal. The county does agree that we did not contact her for those roughly 6 weeks between February 15th and when the trial was on April 23rd to see whether or not she was doing something different from that. But at this point, we would argue that we did work reasonable efforts with her for a number of months. And all those efforts are indicated from the court's findings, and those arguments were noted already today. I think also what the court could look at is the findings of fact found in 152 through 161, where the case plan compliance conclusions. It sums up really what the court's findings were as it relates to how the court came to the conclusion of what her case compliance really looked like. And I guess the agency would argue that we still attempted to work reasonable efforts after the termination of parental rights petition was filed. And certainly, I don't disagree that incarceration is a circumstance that the county can't only look at. If someone were incarcerated, that's not the only reason. But the agency and the court noted that there were other incarceration together with other evidence, such as the parent's incapability or lack of motivation to care for the child, may be a basis for such a decision. So although there was 6 weeks of the county not contacting Ms. Davis or LD, the county could show that there was quite a bit of work up until those 6 weeks, specifically that there was noted in all of those findings, all those attempts that the county and the probation agent attempted to work with LD to try and get her to be maintain sobriety. And it wasn't until the day of trial that she actually acknowledged that she was under the influence or had issues with addiction. Furthermore, that while she was at Share House, and I want to note in one findings of fact 156, I thought was a really important finding that the court made, because at trial she still continued to say that she was discharged appropriately, and that we were still concerned about her dishonesty, about her sobriety. Being at that treatment facility was really her final straw as it relates to both going to prison or having a termination of parental rights. The county was still hopeful at that point that she was going to start cooperating and start working with us, but it did not appear that that was enough for her. The court found it more convincing even that the reasons she was incarcerated were for her own issues, and found that to be more convincing because the probation agent's recommendations and the case plan were similar. So essentially she was allowed to work more services to help her become successful by having both a probation agent and a social worker attempting to get her into treatment. So at this time, the agency argues that there were multiple factors to support the court's determination to terminate LD's parental rights. And the court found that LD did not work or successfully complete any requirements of her case plan. And to further note too, the request by the appellant was to perhaps transfer physical and legal custody. And that's something that the agency always considers. We always though ask what the request is of the parent or the foster parent that's going to be taking that. So I just want to note that it's not in the record, but I believe it was maybe testimony that the request from the father, JC, was to terminate the parental rights. And so that is why the county kept the petition in place rather than having a transfer.
Well, the rights were transferred, right? Well, you're saying, okay, I understood.
So at this time, the agency again asks that you affirm the decision. And I don't have any further information unless the court would like any questions. Have any questions?
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Any rebuttal?
I do have one brief rebuttal, and thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court and counsel, I have a very brief rebuttal. An issue that is part of the testimony in the case but not addressed in the briefs is one that Ms. Kadri just brought up, was that they seek the custodial parent or the parent who is going to be receiving custodial rights, what their wishes are. That might be their wishes, but there is no law to establish that the potential future custodian has a right to determine whether or not termination or voluntary transfer of custodial rights is in the best interest of the child, nor within the purview of my client's rights. It was her parental rights that were being terminated, and she was offering to work a case plan. She had a year to do it. There's significant testimony that she did not do it. Our argument is only that when she did start working a case plan, everybody had stepped back and stepped away and went forward with the termination of her parental rights for grave and weighty reasons, at least that's the findings, and rather than a transfer. To this date, Ms. Davis is sober and she's working, continuing to work her case plan, hoping that at some point in time, she's going to be able to have contact with her daughter again. And I want to reiterate for the court that in this particular case, there was never a single finding that the child in and of itself was in danger, only that she didn't comply with the case plan. And she spent 5 of 7 months out of the year that she was supposed to be working a case plan incarcerated. Again, this goes to addiction. It does not go to her ability to be a parent. And therefore, I request that the court reverse the decision, reinstate her parental rights, and allow her to be able to continue working a case plan. Thank you. I have nothing further.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your arguments here today. We will look carefully at this matter.